time. I'll do that today. I'll correct my errors. Let's look at verse 8. Because without verse 8 and following, verse 11 really doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Notice I left out one of the key things, what God is telling Paul here. Romans 13, verse 8. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. What does he say? We owe one another love, don't we? Compassion. Whether they deserve, because do we deserve the love that we get from God? No. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up by this: love your neighbor as yourself. And we really got to see that yesterday. And as we get ready for Easter, we get ready to do that. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to having a full choir on Easter. You know why? So we'll have plenty of room for everybody, for all the guests to sit on Easter Sunday. You know what? I'll even share my seat. I'll even stand up. That's how excited I am. I know God's going to do something Easter. Do you have the full faith God's going to do something? I mean, look around today. I mean, I see less and less wood every week. That's good. Because the more wood is filled here, the more we can focus on the wood of that cross at Calvary, right? That took our way, our sins. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Then the verses that I began with last week. Besides this, we have the key ingredient. We have the love. Now we have to do what? Put love into action. And now there's an urgency. It's no longer an option. There's urgency to put this into pass. Look all around us, okay? There's movies being made, 2012 being made, about the world coming to an end. Even though we know that even the right hand, the sun at the right hand, doesn't know when the time's going to come. We know that it's coming. We don't know when, but we can see signs, right? God has given us signs. And we look at all these earthquakes. We look at how people are falling away from their faith. We look at how families are being cracked. It's coming, and it's coming soon. So now, knowing this, knowing the time, it is already the hour for you to wake up from sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, and the daylight is near. So let us discard the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk with decency as in the daylight, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual impurity and promiscuity, not in quarreling and jealousy, but listen to this. And I pray, if nothing else today, you do this. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So in order to be clothed, I don't know about, I don't have a whole lot of wiggle room. I can only get about one layer on, right? So that's the thing. We got to get rid of the old layer. We got to get rid of the junk before we can put on something new, don't we? That's what we got to do. We got to get rid of the layers of filth and greed and selfishness, self-centered living, so we can put on the full body of Christ, because there is no other room with that purity. And make no plans to satisfy the fleshly desires. But what are we thinking about now? It's a beautiful day. I'm going to put in my time at church, and I've got some things I want to do out in this beautiful weather. It says make no time for that, because there is no time. The time has come. Souls are being washed away. I pray today God has prepared you for a reason. How many of you here today are troubled in some way or another? I hope so, because that's why God has brought you here. Why would we need a healer if we weren't broken? Why would we need a redeemer if we weren't brought down low? We need these things. We need to feel these things. God has brought us to these things to lift us up today. I pray God lifts you up with his word. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you just guide us today, Father. Lord, you've gathered so many souls here today, Father. Despite Satan's best efforts, Lord, you've brought us here today. Now let us not leave until we've been filled by your mercy. Lord, we sing beautiful praises to you today. We have your ear. You're listening. Now what do we need to offer to you today, Father, Lord? Our souls, righteous living, whatever it is. Speak to us, Lord. We're ready. We're waiting. Let thy will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Children, you may be dismissed to children's church this morning. And as they leave this morning, again, we're in 2 Chronicles, what we've been looking at for the past couple of weeks, and we'll continue with here today. We began looking last week at forgiveness. Why come to church? What is it about church? And we're going to look at some other verses. In fact, one verse I'd like to share with us about what God says about Christ being the head of the church and what the church really is in theological terms. Sometimes we kind of get lost in Scripture. So many times we repeat Scriptures, we hear Scriptures written, read a bunch of times, and we just kind of get lost on the meanings here. What we have to look at here is, what is Christ's greatest concern for us? Obviously, salvation. Christ wants the world to be redeemed to Him. He wants salvation. He wants personal salvation. But there's another thing that He wants: holiness and sanctification. Holiness is that righteous living. Yes, I know we're imperfect people, but God wants us to strive. Okay, those of you that have heard this in the prayer walking classes and the Wednesday class, those of you that have not heard that, I like to repeat this because I think it means a lot. Grace. What is grace? And what are you doing with grace? Are you hiding under it? That's what a lot of Baptists do. They hide under grace. Well, I've been saved by grace, so now I can do whatever. I'm going to hide underneath that grace. I know I can't be perfect. The Bible tells me I can't be perfect. I know in my sinful fleshly desires I can't be perfect, so what's the point in trying? What a shame we bring to Christ when we have that attitude. We need attitude adjustments, don't we? Some of us have had those when we were kids, right? I've had a few attitude adjustments. They're good for the soul. Not too good for the backside, but real good for the soul. We got to have those attitude adjustments, and that's what we need in our life. And you know what? Things happen in our lives. Christ is trying to give us attitude adjustments. But you know what happens? Have you ever seen some kids, the more you punish, just the more bitter and more resentful they get? That's the way we are getting as Christians. We're getting more resentful, but we need to look at those chastisements to see what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to purify us, not hide under grace, but we are supposed to strive for perfection. How many of you are striving for perfection and you've already given up on that? Well, there's nothing else that I can achieve. There's nothing more that I can do. I know that I'm going to fail. Listen, that's not what grace is. Grace is, we're supposed to strive for perfection. Because how many of you know what Philippians 4:13 says? And if you know what it says, do you believe it? And then if you believe it, do you practice it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, right? I can't do it on my own. I can't even do it with help with a staff. I've got to do it through Christ, which strengthens me. That's that verse there. So again, we have a lot of things that we're philosophical good on. We know those verses. Boy, I can go to that verse in times of need, but how many of us practice that? Do we say, hey, I can do these things through my Christ? Not a generic Christ, but my Christ who strengthens me. And how does your Christ strengthen you? Just in crisis time, how does Christ strengthen you? Does He strengthen you for His kingdom? Christ has a plan and a purpose for you. And if He's building you up, He's building you up to work. That's what He wants you to do. Boy, have you ever been buttered up real good by somebody, whether it's a spouse or a boss? Are they really buttered? Hey, I brought donuts in today. You expect, hey, if donuts are coming in, you're expecting something from me, something extra there. God wants something from us. God is building us up, teaching us so that we will do something for Him. I want us to see, as we strive for grace, and why we should strive for Christ's perfection. And as we do, as we fall, grace is to bounce us back up, to do it all over again. It's our cushion that we can't fail. As we strive for perfection, we can't fail because Christ's grace will always be there to catch us. Aren't you thankful for that? Now let me ask you, are you hiding under God's grace? Or are you using that for your trampoline, for your safety net? That's the thing for us to consider. Notice Paul in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19 this morning. Notice the thing about, one of the things we want to look at here is Christ is sanctifying and He has godly sincerity within His church. What is so important about the church? Why is it not important to you if Christ gave Himself for it? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Christ gave Himself for the church. So it has to be important, right? So what is important about it, and how do we renew our importance to that? Let's look at these verses from Paul here. Beautiful, beautiful passage in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 says, He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. Is your family falling apart? Is your personal life falling apart? If it is, let me ask you something. Who's holding it together? Are you trying to hold it together? Remember those Stretch Armstrong dolls we used to have? Growing up, one of those things, stretch and stretch. That's what we try to do, don't we? We try to stretch, but we can only go so far, don't we? Then we break. We break. And then you know what? We're stretched out so far, we can't get back together a lot of times. This is what Christ is to do. He is what holds things together. And if Christ is not central in your life, then it's not being held together. Maybe it's tied up on a couple of ends, but not centralized around Christ. Notice as he continues, he is also the head of the body. And what does he describe the body as there in the verse? Church. The church. Not this beautiful brick building that we've been bestowed upon here at Prince Avenue, but the universal church, the body of believers, made up of every denomination, made up of every race, color, gender, all those things that he's brought together, those that have come to saving faith, that is who he is the head of. So that tells us he is the head of you. Does the world see that Christ is the head of you? Or does it look like you run your own life? That's what we have to think about. Is Christ truly the head of the church? Because the church is made up of what? Individuals. So Christ has to be the head of a what? Individual before he can be the head of a body, right? So that's the point that I'm making. Is Christ the head of you today? Notice it says, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have what? First place in everything. This theological passage here tells us about the preeminence of Christ. What does that mean? Because he's the Alpha, the Omega. He's existed before all things. All things were created for him, by him. Okay? Why were they created? For him, for his purpose. Are you living your life for his purpose? Really think about that. Really think about if you were to die today, and we realize we're going to have a judgment, right? It says there's going to be a time for all of us to die, an appointed time to die, then the judgment. Okay? We're going to be judged. Okay? Not for our salvation, but worse, I think. You know what we're going to be judged for? What we've done with our salvation. And I think that's a higher calling than being judged by not being saved. We are going to be judged what we've done with it. What have you done with your salvation, by the way? What do you intend to do with it today, tomorrow, next week? Just hold it in your pocket for a salvation ticket. Notice it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So we have the perfect picture of God in Christ there. Now the Bible tells us that worship in the church must be done in spirit and in truth. Isn't that what Jesus told the woman at the well? In spirit and in truth. If you're lying to yourself about your relationship when you come into church, how can you worship in spirit and truth? How can we do that? If we're not living in truth, how can we worship in truth? That's a pretty easy question, isn't it? We can't. So how do we do that? The first thing we have to realize is we are all going to be miserable without God. Even if we have that Christian card punch, if we do not have a reigning, controlling life with Christ in our lives, we're going to be miserable. I just want you to answer this in your heart right now. If you're a Christian today and you're miserable, I want you to think on this right here. Is that possible? Is that possible for a Christian to be miserable? You better believe it is. Because that's who Satan wants to attack the most. The ones who are just religious, the ones who just come to church when they want to, how they feel like, I'm going to tell you something. Satan's not really worried about them because Satan loves religion. Satan is the author of religion, okay, to split things up. Christ is the author and perfecter of Christianity. So if he's begun something in you, are you allowing him to finish it? This is where the church comes in to play. We see a lot of scriptures talking towards that. Another one here I want us to look at. Again, just to solidify the point of what the centrality, the key focus of the church is. It's about Christ. That if nothing else out of this sermon series, I want you to think about the church is created for him, by him. The church is loved by him. The church is guarded by him. The church should be led by him. And we should come to church for him. Simply because of the love, because he done something you couldn't do. First of all, he created the church. First of all, he loved the church despite all of its flaws. And third of all, he gave his life for it. How many of you can give your life for anything? Not for salvation, not for any eternal purposes. We cannot, no matter how much we want to. If there was any way in the world that I could bust both of my veins open and bleed for the salvation of the lost, don't think I wouldn't do it in a heartbeat. I would. But my blood is not the blood of Christ. My blood can't wash away the sins. But I can tell you about the tears that I shed, the pain that I have in my life for the sins that I've done. And I know who's the one that washed that away. I know who's the only one that can love me. And even when my life isn't perfect, and most of the time it's not, I still know the one who loves me. And that's what's happened to us Christians today. We've been thwarted. We've been off base. The things that God gives us, Satan manipulates those things. Whether it's our job, we put that above God. Whether it's whatever, we praise God for those things. We pray for those things, and then once we get them, what happens? Sometimes we use those not to worship God. Our families, all those things. Listen, we have to realize the church is his body. Look in Ephesians here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Notice what it says here about the church. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. How many of you like to buy your kids new clothes? We like for them to look nice, don't we? How many of you ever dressed your kids up nice and neat, and whether it's before church or especially school pictures, right? Well, you got something really nice on them. And then you look at the picture when you get it in from the school, and what happens? There's mustard, ketchup, grass, all those things. So you sent them in looking good. You got them cleaned up, righteous. What happened in between that period? They didn't come out the way they were sent in, right? That's what happens to us Christians as well. And that's okay, because God knows we're going to get stained, but you know what he wants us to do? Come clean. Come clean. And the way we do that is not with one of those magic little crayons we got nowadays, those stain removers we can take out if we eat our lunch or hover it over our desk and put that stain remover on there. Christ is available more apt, more clear, more full than that. But notice as it continues here, he says, to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. And guess what? You know what his refining process is for that? Think of the church like a ringer. You know, it brings us dry, doesn't it? It cleans us. It filters us. That's what the church is. So we wonder how sometimes we have dirty lives because we haven't been through the filter. Sometimes we got to go through the refining fire. That's what the church is to do, to encourage us, to edify us, to build us up, to love, to encourage us, to make us through. This is how we present ourselves to him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith, are you not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard? That's the things that we have to look at right there. And now that you passed that test, let me actually get into my scripture here. Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, because I was reading from Colossians. Did you catch that? See if you're following along with me there. A little test there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Everybody was nodding along with me, just going right along. Look at these verses here. Verse 22 and 23. Now that you've been tested, there. Look at these verses here in Ephesians 1. And he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things. Notice that last part right there. In every way. In every way, Christ fills us. Do you feel empty in some aspects of your life? Because this is an area that he can fill you in, that he wants to fill you in. Now back to our focal passage there, 2 Chronicles. What exactly is Solomon telling us here in these verses? Last week we finished on verse 23. Now let's look at verse 24 and 25 here. Verse 24 and 25. This thing I want us to look at. How many of you here today are defeated? Maybe it's just a little minor battle. Maybe it's a major thing. How many of you are defeated in some way? And you've been knocked down so many times, you just don't know if you can get back up this time. This is who God wants this message to go out to today. When you're defeated, you should be able to come to church. Isn't this what Solomon's saying? Look at these verses. Verse 24. If your people, Israel, are defeated before an enemy, and there's nothing no more embarrassing than that right there, is it? To be displayed. Have your shame displayed before you there. because, notice this right here. Why are we defeated sometimes? You mean it's our fault? That's what he's saying here in these verses. And notice what he says, because they have sinned against you. So we're defeated before our enemies because why? God wasn't the leader. God wasn't our general in command there. We allowed ourselves to do that. So this is what Solomon is praying here. And they return to you and praise your name. Where does praise start? Some people think right here, doesn't it? That's not where praise starts. Jesus, and of course he was talking about what defiles a man. He said, what defiles a man is not what comes from here, but it starts where? Here. And the same way with praise. It works the same way, doesn't it? Praise starts here, and then it emanates through the lip, through a life, okay? But if we are construed and distressed and perplexed on this side, nothing ever happens here. We can say it, but we don't mean it. It's lip service, isn't it? We hear politicians all the time saying stuff to here, but it doesn't mean anything there. It's the same way in our lives here. Notice it says, and they pray and notice. Sometimes we think it's the same thing, but it's not. We can pray without pleading, but notice what Solomon says. We want them to come to church to realize they've sinned. They've been defeated because they sinned. And guess what? They can return and plead for mercy. We need to come to church to do what? Plead for mercy. God, forgive me. Because I have walked away from you. You haven't forsaken me, God, but it is I that have forsaken you. And once we do that, do we have to do that in church? Not necessarily. But it's very, very important that we do that. And why? Because he wants to perfect us. He wants to guide us. He wants to mold us. And he wants us to see our faults. And once we realize our faults, we realize there's nothing we can do. We realize we made them, but there's nothing we can do to fix them. But only God can. We got to be dependent upon God. Think of somebody that you are very dependent on, that you don't know what you would do without them, whether that's your mother, your father, your brother, sister, somebody that you know you can talk to. Somebody, you know. Now think about, if you did not have that person, what would you do then? Why isn't God like that to us? Why is it when we feel that we're miscued from God, that we're separated from God, that we don't cry out and say, oh my goodness, I've lost my rock, my shelter. You know why? Because he probably never was to begin with. You only miss what you had to begin with, right? So this might be an opportunity for you to realize Christ is your rock, your salvation, your armor. Notice as he says in verse 25, that you may hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people. Now particularly, what is that sin that they've done here and why they were being punished? What is most sins based on? Why does God start the Ten Commandments out with, you shall have no other gods before me? Because that's where trouble starts, right? If God is number 1B or number 2 or 3 or 4, trouble happens, right? And that's what happens in our lives. So I just want you, just humor me here. Just think, if you're having some problems, just think, maybe you may be part of the cause. Maybe we're a part of the cause that's brought that upon us. But notice what it says, that you forgive the sin of your people, Israel. And Israel had to come together as a nation, and that's what he wants to do. Not just as individuals, he wants us to come together as a church, and all of us admit there was a... Wasn't it wonderful that the prophets would come together, and when they prayed, even though they followed God's will, what did they do? We have sinned. They incorporated, said, we have to incorporate this as a body, right? The individuals become a body. But if the individuals are present, hit and miss, you can't be a body, can you? How solid, how strong, how prepared can we be without being one? Okay? And it's time for Prince Avenue to be one, right? It's time for us to be one so we can be about the Father's business, right? I'm ready to be praised for being God's faithful stewards and saying, well done. Well done, my kingdom at Prince Avenue, for being faithful. Even though your adversary has knocked on your doors, entered your doors, lived and resided in, you have still been faithful to the end. Persecuted, but not given up on. Strong in times of in times of distress. And notice in verse 25, the final part, that you may restore them to the land you gave them and their ancestors. And again, I talked about this a little bit in one of my earlier sermons about the promised land. The promised land is not the same thing as heaven, because they had to fight for the promised land, didn't they? There's no fight for heaven because Christ already gave that to us, right? I prepared a place for you. So that's nothing to fight for. So that can't be the same. Our promised land is here on earth. Our families, our lives. And if we want to be strong, a strong advocate for them, we've got to be strong in the Lord. So I challenge you today, just how strong in the Lord are you? I'm going to pose a question I posed to the prayer walking class yesterday. We had progress reports that went out for middle school this past week. I'm not going to say if, because God does give us progress reports. We don't simply send His Holy Spirit when we're not doing right, right? We don't get a little progress report home. And I remember back in the day, it was called discipline reports, deficiency slips. And you tried to beat that rascal home if you had one, didn't you? You knew it was going out. You tried to get to the mailbox first to get that. No, Mom, I didn't get one of those. Well, then how in the world did you have a C at this and then brought it away anyway? So we try to do that with God, too, but we do have a progress report. God is seeing where we're at. If you were to get a glimpse of God's progress report on you today, what percentage would you have? How faithful would He consider you? And don't just walk away with your head in shame saying, I know I'm not where I need to be. That's fine. But now what I want you to do is be challenged by God. Why do I preach? Why does God have preachers, period? That we may give you a word from God, that you may hear God and respond to Him. It isn't about me. It's about you and God. And I'm just a messenger. I'm just a messenger. And God is wanting to speak to you today. How personally is He speaking to you? Where would your progress report be? And are you satisfied with that, or do you want to do more? Let's conclude in Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Oh, is he going to read verse 8 and 9? By grace are you saved? No, let's read a little after. Let's read a little after that right there. Look in verse 21 and 22 of that. And I love Ephesians because he used some clear, precise words to Christ and how it relates to us. Good Christian living book here. Ephesians 2nd chapter, verse 21 through 22. You know, this God's just putting this into my mind here. This past week, and in case you haven't noticed, we have new pillars in front of church, and that's a blessing. The Bible tells us in Timothy that we are the pillars of truth, aren't we? We're what the world is to stand on. But if we're living in lies, we're living in darkness, then we wonder why the church and everything has fallen in, because there's no support. We've got to support Christ in His kingdom here. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 through 22. Verse 21 says, the whole building is being fitted together in Him and is growing into a holy sanctuary in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. Notice what it says here. For God's dwelling in the Spirit. So the question that we have to a lot of things in our lives, why? Why should I go to church? Why does it matter if I don't go to church? Why does it matter if I love the Lord? He knows how I feel. Why do we have to demonstrate it? He knows what your heart is, right? He knows what's on our heart. But He wants demonstration, you know? Then we could also argue the point, why be baptized? He knows we're saved, right? Why be baptized? A demonstration to the world. So when you attend church or don't attend church, you're showing the world how important Christ really is to you. Well, how far are you willing to go for Christ? We have people that hurt in the flesh that barely can get up and walk sometimes, but yet they're present to be with the Lord. Do you think they do that? I want you to think about those people that come to your mind in our church and represent that. Do you think they do that just for show? Just to meet an obligation? They do it because they're repaying a debt to the one who gave them everything. Although their physical body may not be whole, the one thing that Jesus done is He forgave them of their sins and made them a whole person, right? Do you want to be a whole person today? Complete on the inside and out. I know it sounds like fantasy, It sounds like something, I'd like to have, but it's not obtainable. Not on the path that we're going. Sidetracking sin and a remission of sin. What did we say in our verses today out of 2 Chronicles 6? It says, if you realize that you're defeated because of your sins, there's a victory to be won, right? That's through Christ. I don't care if you've been saved a year, 2 years, 10 years. If you need to feel close to Christ today, come to Him. Don't look around and see, what should I do? I want you to listen. When we go into this invitation here, I want you to think about that. If you're defeated and you want to rise up, do that. Have you put something before Christ to cause you failure before your enemies? If you have, confess that today. If you want to be strong in Christ, come to Him fully. Like a little child. Like a child. You know, just yesterday before we went prayer walking, Sarah greeted the mailman, and she went out to him and they had a conversation, and she said, we're going prayer walking today. And just like a child, ready to go out and do the Father's work. Do you have that heart in you yet? Do you have that heart to go out and to thank God, to show the world that you live for Him, that you do anything in the world for Him, even die for Him if it got down to it? Are you ready to do that today? Folks, I pray that you listen. Do you even remember what I read at the beginning of Romans? Does that even mean anything to you? Knowing that the time is at hand, it's time to wake up. If anybody here is asleep, rise and shine. Rise and shine to Christ's calling. Wake up. Do something different in your life. If you're defeated, come to the fount of refreshing and renewal. He'll meet you there. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for this time, Lord. I commend this time into Your hands. God, I'm such a weak and imperfect person, Father, that I know my words and my mind gets in the way of doing Your will sometimes, Father, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, through my stumbling and fallacies this morning through Your word, Lord, that You just let the people see beyond that. See beyond me to the cross, to Your Son Jesus, Lord. I pray that's what they see today, and that as they see Jesus, they see where they are and where they need to be. Lord, I know You're dealing with souls today, Father, Lord, and I pray today is a conclusion to that dealing, to a response, whatever that is, whether it's rededication or, Lord, a soul says, I've got to come to Christ. I don't know what would happen to me if I die. There's too much unknown. I want to know for sure that I would be with Christ when I die. Lord, if that's today, bring them. Father, Lord, as we sing, let us concentrate on Your will. Lord, convict us by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let Thy will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. When we think about this, what is our life without Christ? Have you thought about that? Paul did. What is your life without Christ? Is it run amok? Have you tried everything you know to do to get yourself on track, but it's still not working? Give it to God right now. Let Him have it all. Whatever it is, the most minute thing you think is not even worthy of taking to the throne, give it to Him right now. Make your life useful for the kingdom. Will you let God speak, or will this just be another service for you? This may be the appointed day of salvation, a new day, a new beginning for somebody. Listen to God right now in your life. Let God speak to you. Who knows what the day may fold? We don't know. Whatever it is, let Christ have it. Let Him have everything today. just as we sung, here am I, send me. If we're going into a broken world, they don't need more brokenness, do they? They need wholeness. So before we can give them something that they don't already have, the world needs something different, don't they? We need to give them something different. If we're broken like they are, they're going to stay broken. We need to be whole so we can show them to be whole, to lead them to the great physician, Jesus Christ, the healer of all. Listen, folks, I really pray today's been a different day, more than just a sermon, but a message from God. Listen to God, whatever it is. I don't know what God's dealing with you individually, but I know he is in one aspect or another. It may be a challenge to do a little more, maybe to do it for a better reason, a better motivation, just for Christ, not for the pats on the back by men or by the people in the church, but really to worship him. God has given you a day. What for? Why are you here? Go out to the world. Share that with the world. I pray God blesses you in a mighty way. As you let the earthly sun warm you, let the heavenly sun warm your soul. As we close, Brother Harold, would you dismiss us in prayer?